This is a lecture by L. Ron Hubbard given on the 9th of November, 1953. The title of this lecture is Exteriorization by Feeling Continued. This tape is 55 minutes long. Reproduced by Golden Era Productions.
Okay, second part of the afternoon lecture, November 9th. He's playing the game of where did I leave it? In whom did I plant it? And whither is it gone now? Now, he thinks he did this with every dead body he ever had. What do you think a body is but a kind of a pet? That one sneaked up on you, didn't it? What do you think you do with a body? You talk to it, it talks back to you. It hasn't got anything in it that'll talk to you. Not a darn thing. Left to its own devices, it would probably run around swinging its arms rather loosely, saying, up, gub, gub, gub. If you want to know what a body does, go down to the insane asylum, and every once in a while you'll come across somebody where the thetan shoved off, and the GE is still running on a circuit. It's very fascinating. There's oftentimes people who accuse political figures to be this kind of a being. But it's not true. Not all of them are. Not all of them are. Anyway, if anyone wants it doesn't, don't be insincere about these people. They're trying hard. I don't know what they're trying to do, but they're trying. Anyway, when we get into the problem of circuits, we're into the problem of divisions of beingness, instantly and immediately. And division of beingness is a very foolish problem to worry about because it assumes that there is a quantity involved in the amount of energy which one can produce. And the moment that it assumes that the conservation of energy as a law in the material universe is irrevocable and was confirmed by the Senate, that was taxation without representation as far as I was concerned, the Senate of the United States or no other place passed this, it doesn't happen to be true. This stuff can't be destroyed, they say. Well, it can't be destroyed by itself because that's the postulate in it. But it can be destroyed by life. And it sure can be mauled around. It's very embarrassing in the nuclear physics these days as they blow it up. They keep getting more energy than they had in the first place, and they blow it up again and they get less. Conservation of energy be darned. So this conservation of energy gives people the idea that destruction of something means that it is now missing. You see? Now we put something here, the position B, and blow it up. Now it is missing from position A. And they get this idea so solidly that at length they're solid. Why? Because they don't create anymore. So they don't destroy anything anymore. Now they're getting close to being in the center of that thing, that line, that hypothetical line we use called A, source, B, receipt point, or the communication channel. They are communication particles. And they can't be destroyed either. They're just scared stiff of being destroyed. That's very interesting. They can't make a body, Pam, that walks, talks, spits, chews tobacco, and votes. So they say to themselves, well, nobody better touch this one. Everybody touching it all the time, see? Putting stuff into its skull and so on. Did you ever see a really good operator on the subject of public presence, somebody who just really didn't care who he laid it into. I'll tell you one of them, William Jennings Bryan. He's way back. I don't know a modern one, actually. Truman wasn't one. But one of these people will all of a sudden fill up the auditorium. They walk in, they fill up the auditorium. Boom. Gee, everybody sure knows they're there. What they do is slam some anchor points back across the back end of the thing without even knowing what anchor points are. They just are presence, and they go presence throughout the whole auditorium. I swear after that, all he'd have to do is stand there, sit down, and think. And the speech would probably be all delivered. But they talk, or they sing, or they do something of the sort. This is audience presence. It's not a mysterious quality at all. Now you engage in conversation with somebody and had him pull this trick on you. Well, it's really only pulled by a thetan who is operating very close to a body or in it. Otherwise he lets people have some space. Entitled some space. Why not? he wants to occupy some space while he's talking to an audience, he can always go over and occupy the police station. Hold them stationary. But people only wind up on such a presence, by the way, of being terrifically impressed. They know they have had an effect. Believe me, they know they've had an effect, but they wouldn't quite be able to tell you what it was. This is where aesthetics enter in. All right. This type of presence is just a little shadow of this other type of concentrated circuit implant. Little boy takes the dog and he says, "Your name is George. Now, George, you must come to me when I tell you to." Concentrate, concentrate. Plug, plug. Squeeze, squeeze. He finally got George, who's just a little hollow-brained canine that was running around the neighborhood. You swear. You can always walk around the neighborhood and tell what dogs are owned. What dogs are really functioning. They're doing all right. They're smiling, they're happy, they're very cheerful, they're walking places, they have errands and missions. And there's somebody someplace who says, "Your name is George." Bang! And these other dogs that have lost their owner or something of the sort, they're running around and they're saying, "My name was George." And they haven't any mission, and they don't know quite where they're going, but once in a while, somebody is astonished in the news to find that some dog or some cat has walked 3,000 miles. Family moved to the other coast, didn't tell the dog where they were going. And the dog shows up 3 months or a year later, foot sore, half starved, and says, "Here's George." Well, what fetches the dog home? That dog would never have done this. And we say, "Aren't dogs smart?" No, aren't kids smart? Family said, "You can't bring George with us." So the kid, not that his left hand know what his right dog was doing. Brought George. Well, this problem has gone on and on and on for eons with your preclear. He said, "Everybody is another being. And now I've lost my dog." See? Dead, there's my dog. The dog remembered. I don't remember anything. That dog was the all in the world to me. You actually find some kid after he's lost a pet. Boy, is he in a daze. And the Thetan is in a daze the same way. He's lost pets all up and down the track. Furthermore, he's been members of groups and has been thoroughly accepted. You could find the point on the track where the individual decided that he was the only one, that other people didn't want to play with him in a group. But generally in some war or some place, Lord knows where, some place, where he was so badly hurt or cut up or shot that his level of certainty shifted from just being, I'm a member of this gang and here we all go and it's a lot of fun with color and blaze and glory, to I'm the only one. And he decided this the first time that he really discovered he could be hurt and where he was perilously close to needing an impact to tell him where he was. So he got the impact and it really told him where he was, and he's been holding on to it ever since. And where he was is not wanted. You tell one of these preclears you're having trouble with, you say, you ever have the feeling like you might get kicked out? Yes. Sure. They go around all the time feeling like somebody's going to tell them to leave. You could actually walk up to such a person if they were in a store and look at them very sternly and say, "You'll have to get out of this store at once." And they would cut for the door instantly. It had never occurred to them to even ask whether you were a member of the store or a staff or a detective or what. If the person that you said this to did not leave, that kind of a case. But if the person simply bridled up and got real angry, real upset, a little bit of a bad case. What's the difference? The person coming up says, "Go," and the individual automaton's out of the place. Now, he's gotten to a point where he's identified himself with the circuits he's set up. That's what he's done. And he says, "I am there." That's why he's not in the body. That's why he feels he's all over the universe, why he's buttered thin everywhere. The problem is not the problem of collecting him from all over the universe. It's simply collecting him where he is. You don't care much about collecting him from all over the universe. You really don't. You could follow this through on change of space processing with pets, change of space processing on this and that. Actually, three spaces on three universes is a superior process. Did you find that out this morning? That's a really rough process, occupation of space in three universes. This breaks all that up, because the fellow finds out what? He finds out he's him or she's her. And we get a pinpoint location in space. And if they unstabilize afterwards, they just don't keep the pinpoint location. They don't follow a drill you may give them to exteriorize themselves or locate themselves. They feel a little bit confused. Don't think you're going to exteriorize a Thetan forever and I, because you gave him a little bit of horsepower and he said, gee, life looks dull standing out here in the middle of night. I think I'll make another pet or another chess player. And here we go. But this person remembers a few weeks later that, gee, it was nice being out there. And that was all very nice, and I probably should build that up and straighten myself up, for goodness sakes, and so forth. Well, if they have a little drill, they can do this, because what does it require? Simply and solely, orientation. That's all it requires, orientation in the mesh universe. When a person is real well off, he doesn't care what universe he's looking at. It doesn't matter. He can look through it, he can look at it, he can throw anchor points up and square one around for himself, but another one isn't handy. And he's quite content. But while he's struggling up to this level, and while he's still in agreement with a lot of people that are playing the game called, let's see, a body with a name with a significance that I have forgotten but I obey. When they're playing that game, agreement with them gets very, very additive. All he has to know is how to re-exteriorize himself. Actually, a sufficient, adequate ability to locate oneself in three universes, and the rapidity with which one does so as it approaches instantaneousness, coupled with the ability to occupy any space in three universes, makes and will create all the stability a person can have. There is postulated in absolute. He never reaches it. Why doesn't he ever reach it? You can give a person a boost up with Scientology to a point where he will go, oh, you'll kick him into much better shape than he's been in for a dozen spirals on the track. Oh, you came in real good shape. And then he looks around and he sees all these things walking out here that are being dictated to by their name or something. And he says, gee, who is there to play with around here? These people, the people are in a good audience. Let's see, who do we play to around here? We just simply pull off the air cover. Let's see, I can do that. Spoil a lot of audience, though, spoil a lot of entertainment. Well, I guess I'll just set a circuit into somebody and let's go. Really about what he does. He starts getting interested in other people's problems. That's one of its lowest echelons. He gets interested in other people's problems and resolution of problems. If he's just a little bit higher on the scale, he won't be that interested in their problems. He is much more likely, much more likely, to solve problems on a gunshot basis. You know, he just loads up the shotgun and he says, well, let's see, now how do we solve everybody's problems in one sphere and get this job over so we don't do this anymore, and there's no further temptation because we keep getting into trouble by doing this. Now, there's one way to do it. If he's a little bit further upscale and so forth, he can get so interested in looking and creating and wandering around and this and that that he probably would just lose sight of his body, actually. Theoretically. I haven't seen anybody do this. So they go back and they get interested in him. And then they have to bail themselves out. Well, how do you bail them out? By lock scanning? By running engrams? No. By perimeter processing? No. Well, you can actually do an awful lot. They'll eventually square themselves up on whole self-analysis if it came to that tough line. But there is this clinical procedure. Clinical procedure is operated on a preclear, and it's operated as well on the individual himself after he's well up the line. It tells him how to orient himself. And if he gets smashed up or runs into another ridge, if I'm not there, he can bail himself out. What's the problem then that you're solving? You're solving the problem of orientation. Now, obviously, the problem will bog a little bit on the third universe, which is why he goes back and sets up things in other people's problems. He wants a randomity up there. So he's kind of unwilling to spot their anchor points too thoroughly and too well. This would really spoil his game. So you kind of have to kick him in the teeth a few times before you run into that third universe and take a real good look. All right. Orientation. So orientation, straight wire. If he's too bogged and so on, there are several other tricks that you could do. Orientation, straight wire, past, future, present, more or less in that order. And lots of it in the present. We'll take the bulk of cases that walk in. They will immediately diagnose the case and shove the fellow out. Now, the fellow in a little bit worse shape, we have to go into the other things we've been talking about in clinical procedure. And if the case is resistive after a few minutes and so forth, and is having a rough time of it, we had better go in to the stage of feel where you are, which is feel where you are not. Why? Let's look at the problem. Let's look at the problem for this preacher. He's set up an awful lot of circuits and an awful lot of people. He's got limbs and a lot of other things, and he's connected to a body. How is he connected to the body? Well, he's connected to it the same way he got into it. He one day had a couple of beams on a body, and he was making it walk down the street or something of the sort, or through the wood, and it got hit by a musket ball, and there was a big shock, and the energy which he had deposited, get this carefully, the energy which he had deposited in the body suddenly energized, and he's operating tractor beams, which when energized collapse, and so into the head he goes. Okay, this left the somatic. He gets restimulated, the flock of engrams show up, things happen to him one way or the other, and they pull him in. How? By collapsing beams, is what's known as collapsing terminals. You start to run change of space on this person between, you change him, you put him on the Washington Monument to the Empire State Building, Washington Monument to the Empire State Building, and the first thing you know, they're sitting right in the same place. You run it a little bit further, and they go out and stand there again. Why is that? He's so snarled up with beams, he's so identified with matter itself, that he's having a rough time with this. Now, maybe it's only one place in the universe where he'll really jam this way. Well, we had a process there, which is the change of space processing on all of these various locations in the mesh universe. It's a very good process. It's very selective. It's not part of clinical procedure as we're working with it right here. It's a part of what you can do as an auditor and something that you ought to do as an auditor. But it doesn't immediately accomplish everything it should accomplish. We go in, then, if we don't orient them, why, where aren't you? Where are you not? Past, future, present. They finally find out where they are. Then you just put them around in various positions, get them real well oriented, then run them into three universes, spaces of three universes, then chase them around the universe for a while, find out if they hang up in a place, throw them into a theta cell, see if they can get out of it, get them out again. Find out what their perimeter of vision is, increase their perception, you just about got it. But this fellow, when you started to say, where are you not in the past, started to take too much time. Why? He's depending on anchor points that are already lost. He's lost a girl that he had a circuit in and so forth. You ever see these old circus chariot races where they had the fellow like the Ben-Hur and he's on a couple of horses and sometimes on four horses and they're attached to chariots. There's one man rides the two or the four horses and they go round and round the track and a roar and run and so forth. The fellow ever fall off, he'd sure get hurt, wouldn't he? Well, your preclear earlier in existence, whether they were his own creation or not, has planted circuits in people to the degree that he's actually riding two or four horses. And then he loses three horses. Now he's got one horse. And you're asking him to lose that. He doesn't buy this. He'd never hook up with a body to see if he couldn't plant the control circuit. All right. Most efficient way to do it if you're going to train an animal is simply put a circuit right in his head. Bang, bang, hook it through to his motor control panels and so forth, and then run it. You say, backflip, Slido. You ever curious why circus animals and circus performers perform the way they do? You know, you go out on the farm as a kid and try to train an Indian pony or something to do these things. Well, the way it says in the book, and the Indian pony just doesn't train. You give the book to somebody else, and the Indian pony bites him. This problem that he's all mixed up in is he doesn't know where you're trying to exteriorize him from. Might be Mars, so on. Because he can't see. We should call this case colloquially the tin cup case. And that by telling the case that he is a tin cup case, you would immediately of course, give him enough motivators so that he might snap out of it right there. He's sort of trying to be blind. They tried pretty well, but their faces get brighter and brighter with the processing they get and so forth, and they try to be so convincing, but they're not near as bad off as they might be. And by the way, a case that's real bad off on this way on a can't see basis, they always give you a bad time as an auditor. Always. Because they don't dare arrive. You're trying to put them back of the head. Of course, they can't be back of the head because that's a place to arrive. And they can't start out of the head to get back of the head because, of course, they can't be parked. These people will very often stand up in front of you, see? And you say. Now, it's all very well for the general public. As a matter of fact, operating in Scientology with Scientologists is a bit of a liability. It's not a liability in the general public. It's actually been almost a year since anybody has stood in front of me over a couple of minutes and saying exactly what he was supposed to say. It's just to this body. I mean, because all you have to do is just energize their motor control buttons. Just throw up an independent beam that you're not connected with. I'll go through the motor control buttons. It says walk. Say goodbye. Goodbye. Cheerful. Pleasant. It does leave them a little confused as to why they're walking, because they know they didn't tell themselves to walk. They know they told themselves to keep that terminal collapse at least for the next half hour. While they told you the eighth or ninth version of what they were trying to tell you in the first place, which is inarticulate. Now, this is real mean. If you did that to people who are around, you might wind up with a little more auditing on your hands than you should have. But this is the truth of the matter. You can really, really facilitate and speed up things. And just speed them up no end if you just choose out anybody that stands in front of you that way for your randomity. But these people can't do that anymore. Why can't they do that? That might be somebody in whom they planted a circuit, God knows when, see? This might be them. Who knows, but there goes to the John Smith that I am. They don't know, but it might be true. This kind of starts in with the first pet they have. You wouldn't know this because how far south do you have to go? Well, I found out these people have collapsed terminals that are just terrific. They talk to somebody, and a couple of minutes later, this person has left, but the person is actually still standing there somewhat. You know? The facsimile that was made while they were standing there is still there. They've got a nice long lag time. I found an interesting machine the other day that was doing a lag time on me. Every time I looked at Diana, I suddenly realized that I kept on looking at Diana after she'd been carried away. I thought that's very nice. What I was actually doing was enjoying looking at Diana, see, and then I'd make a facsimile of enjoying looking at Diana, and then I would take the enjoyment out of the facsimile, which I had made. It was a very cute machine. Of course, the second I realized it, it blew up. Very unfortunate about machines. You have to be careful. Like a few weeks ago, I reached near this mock-up and blew up a back bridge. I was living around here for days. I couldn't get patched up. Well, here's just a question of planning circuits, planning energy deposits, and so forth. They don't dare hit this person. It might blow them up. You get the idea? Just as you couldn't hire a Satan who needed the mock-up at all to start playing pat a cake with its head, it'd just fry its brain, you see. So he wouldn't dare touch somebody else because he knew that if he generated some energy and he hit somebody else, it'd hit him. How would it hit him? Well, he's them. Why is he they? Well, he is they simply because he's planted not a lot of circuits and he's lost track of where they are because he doesn't know because they're autonomous units. He's involved with the problem of where are the implants which I have implanted in people to make people. He's done it all over the track. See? There's his problem. This, by the way, is basically the problem of entities, not the problem of patents. They don't put patents in other people, they put circuits. All right. How you solve it? You get him to tin cup his way out of it. Now, he can't see where he is, but he can feel where he is. And this has occurred. The collapsed terminals inside the body energize every time he starts to move. And it turns on a slight somatic. And as a result, his efforts to escape are continually baffled by the fact that he thinks he is hurting the body. He isn't. The only pain there, he put. He isn't hurting this body, but he's hurting himself. So you say, be a foot back of your head, you're liable to give somebody a whale of a pain. And after a session, quite commonly, a person might get a sudden headache for some reason or other. All they've done is hit some energy deposit or other, and it's just clipped on. They'll learn by experience after a while, if they look around, not to handle these energy deposits like footballs, if they expect the GE to keep functioning, because it's mainly a matter of electronic circuits, which he himself builds up. Well, now, there, then, is the essence of the problem. You exteriorize him out of one body simply by collecting him there. Now, you collect him there by collecting him out of the past, then you collect him out of the future, and you collect him out of the present. And you may have to go through that cycle many times with straight wire to somehow or other get him to a point where he's there to communicate with you. That's always happy. That's a happy state to have a pre-clear in where he is in communication to some slight degree with an auditor. It is not, in all cases, obtainable immediately. Then, by the way, as the case gets better, it fluctuates. But this is the way you obtain it. Now, the next thing you do is find out whether or not he just can step back of his head. Well, how do you find out? It's just by making him view things from there. He actually will centralize himself down, more or less, to a point within the head and then outside the head with great ease.
This lecture is continued on side two of this cassette.
You just select a couple of points that he can only see from back of the head. Like, now, are you in the back of the shoulders? No, he takes a look and that assures him, you see, that he's not. Now, are you in the back of the head itself? Are you in the hair of the back of the head? No. There he is. He's out. Well, you just go through the drills which I mentioned, which is nothing more or less than occupation of three universes and occupation of spaces. And to a large degree, unless you had more complicated problems on there, the job's done. But, I mean, it's done. He wants to fix up this mock-up. He calls a body and so forth. Well, help him fix it up. But as he starts to fix it up, you'll find out his perception probably needs to be better, so you better his perception again several times. How? By more reorientation. Now, if that doesn't happen, you can do a lot of things. You could actually immediately tin cup him. Immediately. Phlebotomy is long dead, so we can use that phrase. Which is just, all right, it's very, very, very intricate, the process. It's very routine, it's very intricate. It has several precise steps, which if precisely followed, don't miss. You remember in effort processing, shifting the attention to various parts of the body? Well, it would often make people quite sick. That was because this, the ghost of the procedure, which we now have, was insufficiently goaled. In other words, what was the goal of a process? It was never a process. It was just interesting. Here we have a goal of this process, and we reach the goal this way. All right. Tell me what you can't feel in the room. Oh, the fellow said, I can't feel the ceiling, I can't feel the floor, I can't feel the walls. Gee, am I proud, I can't feel the window, I just can't feel anything. Now, if you ask him now, well, can you feel the end of your nose, he would immediately turn on the thing, put up a communication line and say yes. So he don't want to do that. You say, all right, now, you aren't in any of those places, okay? You don't feel any of those things. All right, now, where are some pressure points inside the body? Little pains, pressure points. I'll say, oh, well, this case always, by the way, has several. Always. They're so chronic that they don't realize it. What are these things? These things are simply sensation pockets that they could use for anchor points. This tells them where they are. They have a continuing and continuous sensation. If you simply made them get rid of that sensation without following off the rest of the procedure, they'd go just so far on this technique on are you in your this pain, are you in that pain, and so forth. They just go so far, and then they would say, this fellow is about to take away the orienting points I have in the body, which tells me the body's there, and I'm not going to play anymore. No, nothing's happening now. Yes, yeah, I know about that. Where's his attention? It's out here someplace, spraying at the other corner of the room. He's not going forward with your process. So you have to watch for this one to hang up. And every time it hangs up, why, you slip him a new curve. All right. Where doesn't he feel? In the room. Then where doesn't he feel? Around in the body. Then where does he feel he is? The pressure points. Now you just ask him like that. Do you have any pressure points anywhere in your body? Oh, yes, I've got one in the left temple. Oh? Well, are you there? Yeah, I'm there. And one in the right temple? You there? Yes. Yeah, I'm there. One in the stomach? Yeah, are you there? Yes, I'm right there in the stomach. Yeah, that's where I am, by the way. That's where I am. I'm in the stomach. Now he's decided all, you see. So you say, well, now where don't you feel in the body? Well, he gets the idea fairly rapidly or fairly slowly, which you just coax him into it. What he's doing is feeling from where he is via the communication system which he has, looking forward, null spots and positive spots. So he feels around in the body and he says, well, I'm not my toes. I don't feel anything there. I don't feel anything in the elbows. I don't feel anything in the ears. I don't feel anything in the hair. I don't feel anything in the arms. So on. All right. Now, feel again these pressure spots. And tell me how they are. Feel where they are. This is, by the way, just one way of running this process, but the most efficient one. Feel where they are. So he says, oh, yeah, well, I'm in my right to out. I'm in my left out. I'm in my... Oh! And you say, well, now, where are you? Aren't you around in the room? Where do you feel you aren't in the wall? Can you feel the walls? Oh, it's a funny thing. I can feel the chair over there. He's got his eyes closed all this time. Never with the eyes open. Feel the chair, feel the sewing, feel this, feel the wall, feel there. Or can you identify the direction they are from you? Oh, yes. The heck he can. He's just identifying where the body is in relationship to them because he's putting the beam between the object and the body. So he's locating the object with relationship to the body, but he is not oriented with regard to the body. So you want to places where he feels he's not. You don't care whether he orients the chair or the telephone or the sort, while he's got his eyes shut. Although he'll start seeing whether he likes it or not. Eventually start picking these things up in live present time visio. This is very disconcerting. He promptly shuts them off again, and you probably go on with the process without even noticing he's doing this. Well, all right. Can you feel the building across the street? And he says, no. There? Now, what are we doing here? First part of this course talked about basic technique, extroversion, introversion, until he got his attention off these things. Attention and fixation, attention and dispersal. The way you get it in dispersal, basically, is to find out where he is not in the whole surrounding environment, and then find out where he is, which is getting the fixed attention. And soon, you stop him holding on to all the energy ridges he has. All right. You feel where he isn't there. Again, you go exterior. Then you go interior for the pressure points. And then you go interior for the null points. And then you go exterior again for the null points. And then you go interior again by null points. Or I can feel anything outside of your body. No, yes. Well, I can feel it. Yeah, I can feel it. So, but who cares? Okay, let him say so. He's just oriented with relationship to the body. We're not interested in that. He'll eventually start orienting them almost automatically with relationship to himself, not the body. We're just peeling this one off. All right, we get him then working at greater distances exteriorly. We have to keep extending his distance every time we ask him to look outside of himself. One of the reasons for this is he starts to go through walls. First he starts to feel the walls, he comes up tone scale, and then he goes on up and unmocks them. But you just don't notice this. Your next part of the process is to get him to occupy a couple of spaces. Occupy the space of the body, occupy the space of the back of the body, occupy the space of the room, occupy the space of the body, occupy the space of the room, back of the body, body. Okay. He had no certainty on this at all. What did it take care of, however? It just made sure that you were picking up some of the dispersals which you were hitting and knowing those and getting him out of the energy band again. Now we again ask him to where he feels something and where he feels nothing. We just keep going round and round. And every time a somatic starts to hang up, it's simply because he said, uh-uh. And the way you break that decision is simply to flip him back of the body, space back of the body, space of the body, space of the room, and we bring him right on back to attention processing. We caught a point he's really holding on to, and the second you send him into occupying these spaces, he lets go. So that takes care of his first attention, and actually where he feels he isn't, and actually where he feels he is, then integrates immediately into fixity of attention. So you take care of occupying space for dispersal of attention, fixity of attention for loosening it up there. What are you trying to do? You're trying to take care of the dispersal, his immediate present time dispersal, not the dispersal of some energy deposit, and his immediate present time fixity. He decides he's in his stomach. He'll stick with that for a little while, and then suddenly decide he shifted to his head. Then he'll decide he shifted to his left temple. Then he decides he shifted to his right temple, because he thinks he is in these pressure spots. And that's the trouble with him. He's buttered all over the place. Now, he's liable to give you some weird answers as you continue this. But remember, he'll hang up. The moment he hangs up, you get him occupying space. Shift him around into some spaces to occupy and bring him back to fixity of attention where he doesn't feel anything and fixity of attention where he does feel anything. And remember that you're going to do it exteriorly and interiorly, extrovert and introvert on this basis until all of a sudden the fellow, whether he likes it or not with this process, has no other recourse than to be located. And so he is oriented, and so he backs out of his head. Now this tells you that that's actually by pain and effort. That's a location by pain and effort. It's not a location by emotion. We just skip that one. There's a potential technique in it, possibly a very valuable technique. But it just isn't good enough, because by effort, we'll get the bad off cases, and it'll get the mediumly bad off cases. So just skip the emotional back. See? We go into that. Now, what would there be next? There would be, theoretically, location by thinking, and theoretically, location by words, and then theoretically, by words we have forgotten, and we are into immediately the highest level of any past psychotherapy. Reevaluation of words we have forgotten as an orientation procedure. Interesting. Now, the high tide of psychotherapy was out in the middle of the Atlantic, one drop deep. Now, in other words, your orientation by the word is collapsed. Collapsed words give you hidden words. And the highest tide of that was Dianetics. So now we're being positive and just going right straight into exteriorization as a technique. Was paying much attention to this fellow? No. Very often the fellow is so occupied with some kind of a problem of being. He's trying to be his name rather than be his body. Sometimes you can get him a little more interested in being his body, because being his name is such an idea that he doesn't centralize on anything else. That would be an immediate procedure on something which was proving very resistive as a case. It would be something you'd fall into. This other process would just be a process which you would fall through. I'm going to give you a couple more processes on this. Not today and so forth. There's a lot of these processes. But they all fall back on orientation. One of the most interesting processes I know is orientation in other people's universes. But it's not for you. Not for you. It requires an unlimited supply of other people. And we don't at this time have an unlimited supply of them. The police being what they are, nasty. You start getting orientations on other people's universes, rather than take your own circuit out, you very often blow up a block of anchor points. Now you start to get an orientation on the GE's universe, and you've really got yourself time. First place, he's got a couple of anchor points out there that look like pawn shop walls. Huge! Way up there. You push them out of the way. You could put up anchor points all over the place, you know, start exploding them, and all of a sudden you move that one aside, and it'll go over the side. Not very fast, but very positive. That's the GE space. So you can fool around with his universe. All you got to do is shift wavelength. Well, what do you know? Most of these pre-clears have shifted wavelength way down into this, and they're trying to figure out where the heck they aren't, because they're into energy. Now remember that if they're taking a motorcycle down the road, they're not mixed up much in energy. But if the motorcycle's taking them down the road, believe me, they're bogged. And they think energy is terribly potent and very, very powerful and is liable to smack them flat. And the quicker and sooner that you can pull a pre-clear out of fooling around with energy and put him into the basic technique of creating it and handling it, the better off he is. So you have to get him a drill and shifting wavelengths till he can see ultraviolet and infrared and the others to get him out of seeing wavelengths. Very often a Thetan is exteriorized. He is only used to seeing the body, the interior of the body. He has no idea whatsoever of ridges or anything, you know. He has any idea, and he goes sailing along happily, and he gets along for quite a while. All of a sudden, he runs into anything. It blows up. He said, "What was that?" It was his own theta cracks up to somebody else. But he's forgotten he did this. And there's the case of he must forget that he did it. Now, what happens to this person if you run into somebody who is in a dreadful state of emotional upset about somebody who has left him? Well, you get that by asking a case and assessment. While you were taking the name down, you could handle this one. You want to know when his emotions turned off. That tells you immediately when his lookingness turned off. When his emotions turned off is when his lookingness turned off. So he says, if you probe around for a while, you will finally open this old wound, let it superate for a while. You don't let it superate very long. Are you be in the place where the girl is now? Be here. Be in the place where the girl is now? Be here. Is he serious while you're doing this? No. You can't certain he is. He's there. He's not there and so forth. No. He will eventually get the idea. Well, so she's over there someplace. I mean, if she's dead, so what? So what? He always has the feeling that this person in whom he put a circuit has walked away and left him forever. So that becomes where you would use change of space and use it rather effectively. He doesn't have any such emotional shut-off. He's still very, rather volatile emotionally. It becomes very simple to exteriorize. You just don't handle the problem. There are more odds and ends to this sort of thing. There are more than meets the eye, actually. But just as you sail along there with that procedure, clinical procedure, you can see immediately, as you have gone along, I think you now have a reality on location. Locational processing and the occupancy of space is processing. Well, be careful that you don't run into this one with your preclear, and that is that you've got him seeing the mesh universe so hard, so fast, so furiously, that it's real solid to him, because you've only put a Thetan into the position of being fixed on the wavelength of the mesh universe. And when you have done this, you have actually upset him. You want to return to him a volatility of wavelength. In other words, teach him to look through some walls and know he's looking through them. You do this just by repeating these processes. How long could you carry out an orientation by feeling? You carry it out until lookingness turns on, at which time you carry out orientation by lookingness. At the time the orientation by lookingness turns on real good and real high, it's time to run the rest of the drills. Part of the orientation by lookingness, of course, is occupations of spaces. Here's a neat little trick about occupation space. You say, how far can you reach, mister? And this fellow says he can reach out as far as he reaches with his hand. Well, all right, that's the space he can reach and defend, so therefore he has a sort of a bubble or a ring around him. Well, this will collapse as you run explosions and so forth. But at the same time, there is his randomity zone. And that's very often his occlusion zone. He can't handle any randomity beyond this point. Some people have them out there a couple hundred yards. Some people have them out there a mile or two. It's his perception range. But the people that have them out there a mile or two are darn rare. And the people who have them out there to the tips of their fingers only are very, very numerous. Kids generally have them out a couple of blocks. And how do you handle this? How do you extend this zone? Will you extend it by having occupy all the space of the zone he controls and then have him occupy the space of the zone around him? The space around that zone. Then the space of his zone, the space around that zone, the space of his zone, the space around that zone, the space of his zone, the space around that zone. How careful do you have to be that he has certain people occupying the space? Not even vaguely careful. That space occupation is a technique which doesn't necessarily have to carry certainty with it. So you've got it. Well, I have a lot more to say about this, but just get that as your procedure on such a thing. He can't feel the walls of the room, so he certainly isn't out there. And he can't feel certain parts of the body, so he's not in those parts. But he can feel these 4, 5, 6, 8 anchor points inside the body. He's there in every one of them. He told you a long time ago what the desirable level of certainty is there and how attainable is it. Well, the desirable level of certainty is better certainty. And And that's what you always work toward. You get that by certainty that one is someplace and certainty that one isn't someplace. That's its best level. There's also the certainty that others are places, and this very often is an interesting one. Now, with this business about names, there is another little point in there that I often use and I better remark on, is who are you operating this mock-up for? Who are you operating the body for? And you get the most confused ideas coming up to the preacher. And if you will put the name of the body and the body itself out, it's a double term, in the case it's not too bad off, you'll find some interesting things. You'll find he's keeping a body in. You remember snipe hunting? You know, the boys give you a sack and you go out and stand at the end of a runway, and then they say they're going to drive the snipes down this runway, and the snipes will run into the sack, and then you're supposed to come back to camp afterwards with all the snipes. And so at 4 o'clock in the morning, you've been waiting patiently all this time, and no snipes arrive. You go back and find out they've been in bed since 9, the time they posted you out in the field. Well, this is snipe hunting, and that's kind of a nest universe game. And you'll find out the individual very often is madly running a mock-up for Mama, or running it for Papa, or running it for the school, or running it for somebody or other. He isn't running it for himself at all. You'd be surprised what he'll start doing with a mock-up, which he suddenly learned he's running for himself. He'd do all kinds of things with it he'd never dream of before. Because he's sort of got the idea of somebody else's mock-up. There's the way you break his agreement level with the immediate society. Some of the boys around considered very desirable to bust up all relationship with the society. One in particular, this time, was talking about breaking a person of having a social mind. Well, it's probably a good idea if you're dealing with agreement. But we have this problem with regard to any such thing. The pre-clear doesn't want to. It's only an antisocial person who doesn't want to be social by the definition of the word antisocial. There is no liability with associating with people. Honest. People think that you'd swear. This society in particular has selected every person out for randomity. They're all everybody else's randomity. All people walking around playing the only one and so forth. It's really remarkable. A communistic society goes down even deeper. They're all playing the only one, so they've got to be in a group for mutual protection. But upscale, I remember as a kid, I used to go into a lot of these native tribes are very, very high toned, real nuts, some of them, because of taboos and things like that. Really, really rackety in the wits because of the seventh dynamic, inverted badly in places because their thetans still afloat and all kinds of inexplicable things would happen, you know? Very inexplicable. Such as people getting zapped. The big traditions about various thetans that appeared in the area or lived in the area of recent times. And occasionally one was alive in the area. I know I picked up an enormous amount of bass in one Polynesian, when I was a kid, one Polynesian island, by simply going into a cave where a spirit lived. There was nothing to it. I simply took them a few presents. I wasn't superstitious. anyway, I thought this was absolutely fantastic because there was a device in the cave whereby tides rising would create a sudden vicious current as they blew up through a blowhole in the reef, and with this mysterious distance from the reef you'd have these sudden rushing currents, and it would simply take somebody and bash his brains out suddenly and inexplicably against the top of the cave, which of course was about 12 or 15 feet up, and that never could have happened, you see. So there was a spirit in there that was doing this. Well, you find most spirits hanging around places where natural phenomena does all the work. Automaticity. See, there's always the other explanation for this sort of thing, besides the scientific one of nothing is true, there is no reality, blow it all up. Modern scientific methodology. Well, we have then a feeling of communal beingness in such tribes, which, goofy as their customs and so forth are, still leave tribal members very free. And it's an amazing thing how they treat each other. Oh, it's just amazing. Rather communal society. We talk pleasantly to each other and quite happily and sometimes very insultingly. And it never occurs to them to be insulted just because they've been insulted. See, that's self-determinism. They go around thinking for a while, you know, he insulted me this morning. I have to get mad at him someday. That's about as low-toned as they get. Come back later. I'm busy now is a phrase, so forth. You hear flung out of the hut. Everybody just simply walks away good-naturedly and comes back later. Doesn't occur to anybody to be upset because they've been neglected or something and so on. And you go and sit down on the steps of a hut and you find yourself a calabash of Agadenti or something there, and you take a drink of it and so forth. The fellow comes out, and that was the last drink of Agadenti in the house. And he was getting all ready to drink this drink of Agadenti himself, so he sends a small boy down the road to get some more Agadenti. And they're real emotional toward each other. And you see them piled up like bodies on a battlefield sometime after a fandango. And it doesn't ever occur to them that sleeping, lying across Jose will suddenly turn them up with a bad case of measles or something. Of course, that works to their disadvantage every once in a while, but it really didn't for a long time work to their disadvantage because they never really had the idea bodies were valuable. Another primitive society is very interesting. There's the old folks up there go around and ask the newlyweds, can I be your firstborn? Newlyweds say yes. Why, the old fellow simply runs out and commits suicide. Theta clearing was not unknown here on Earth. Well, but you get this technique, part of clinical procedure, and it really doesn't matter too much exactly where you enter it in. If your preclear has a very rough name, you'll have to do something about that. And if he's a little bit resistive on feelingness and so forth, and you're not too well off, who's he running the mock-up for? Not his mock-up, so he doesn't dare clear it. You know? And this person, by the way, is always known by this. You can have him mock up people, and the second he mocks up somebody facing him, he knows he's not there, and he feels more certain. In other words, everybody is randomity. This is fantastic. For instance, I can't mock up 100 people and know I am not there unless I postulate I'm not there. I can't do this. I mean, an automaticity. I tried to set up a machine one time and did this. I was very baffled. I was sitting at my desk. I was trying to figure out how this thing fitted in. Because this preacher was doing something very strange. You mentioned another being and you could see the fingernails. You know, after death, they still keep growing. Well, in life, this person could eject them about a quarter of an inch. So I suppose he just died quick or something. But here he was with this horrible attitude toward it, and yet he had to be close to people. And that was where I finally found out about I'm not there. Simple, very simple solution. Everybody popped up in front of him. He felt better, but he hated them. See, of course, he was using them for the certainty that he wasn't them. You can take a lot of free clears and you just have them walk up. All right, walk up a girl. Okay, are you in her? No. Huh. Real good, see? Now walk up a boy. In her? No. You feel real good. Now walk up an old man. Are you there? No. You just keep mocking him up, and his tone keeps rising, right? He's chosen the whole human race for his randomity, God help him. Okay, that's all.